I stared at the empty fireplace. The Norn's words kept playing in my head, though I wanted to forget them.
Harbinger of the Wolf.
I remembered what a harbinger was now, something that signaled the arrival of a powerful force, like a doorman announcing the president, or a red sky before a hurricane. I did not want to be the harbinger of the wolf. I'd seen enough wolves to last me an eternal lifetime. I wanted to be the harbinger of ice cream, or falafel.
Wrongly chosen, wrongly slain.
A little late to announce that now. I was a freakin' in hair ye. My name was on the door. I had a key to the minibar.
A hero Valhalla cannot contain.
I liked this line better. Maybe it meant I could bust out of here. Or I guessed it could mean that the Thanes would vaporize me in a burst of light or feed me to their magical goat.
9 days hence the sun must go east, ere Sword of Summer unbinds the beast.
Those lines bothered me the most. Last I checked, the sun moved east to west. And who was the beast? I was betting a wolf, because it's always a stinking wolf. If the sword was supposed to let loose a wolf, the sword should have stayed lost. Some memory nagged at me. A bound wolf. I stared at the children's book of mythology, half tempted to pick it up again, but I was already unsettled enough.
Magnus, listen to me, Sam had said. You have to find the sword. You have to stop them.
I felt bad about Samira Alabas. I was still miffed at her for bringing me here, especially if it had been a mistake, but I didn't want to see her kicked out of the Valkyries because some doctored video made me look like a doofus. Okay, more of a doofus than usual. I decided I should sleep. I didn't feel tired, but if I stayed awake thinking any longer, my brain would overheat. I tried the bed. Too soft. I ended up in the atrium, sprawled on the grass, gazing at the stars through the tree branches. At some point, I must have fallen asleep. A sharp sound startled me awake. A branch cracking. Someone cursed. Above me, the sky was turning gray in the pre-dawn light. A few leaves helicoptered through the air. Branches bobbed as if something heavy had just scrambled through them. I lay still, listening, watching. Nothing. Had I imagined that voice? Over in the foyer, a piece of paper slid under my doorway. I sat up groggily. Maybe the management was giving me the bill and letting me check out. I staggered toward the door. My hand trembled as I picked up the paper, but it wasn't a bill. It was a handwritten note in really nice cursive.
Hi, neighbor. Join us in Lounge 19 for breakfast. Down the hall to the left. Bring your weapons and armor. TJ.
TJ. Thomas Jefferson Jr., the guy across the hall. After the fiasco last night, I didn't know why he'd want to invite me to breakfast. I also didn't understand why I needed weapons and armor. Maybe Viking bagels fought back. I was tempted to barricade my door and hide in my room. Perhaps everyone would leave me alone. Maybe once all the warriors were busy with their Bikram yoga to the death, I could sneak out and find an exit to Boston. On the other hand, I wanted answers. I couldn't shake the idea that if this was a place for the brave dead, my mom might be here somewhere. Or someone might know which afterlife she had gone to. At least this guy TJ seemed friendly. I could hang with him for a while and see what he could tell me. I trudged to the bathroom. I was afraid the toilet would be some Viking death machine with axe blades and a flush-operated crossbow, but it worked like a normal one. It definitely wasn't any scarier than the public restrooms in the common. The medicine cabinet was stocked with all my usual toiletries, or at least the toiletries I used to like when I had a home. And the shower. I tried to remember the last time I'd had a leisurely hot shower. Sure, I'd arrived in Valhalla feeling magically dry-cleaned, but after a bad night's sleep in the atrium, I was ready for a good old-fashioned scrub down. I peeled off my layers of shirts and almost screamed. What was wrong with my chest? Why did my arms look that way? What were those weird bulgy areas? Usually I avoided looking at my reflection. I wasn't somebody I wanted to see on a regular basis. But now I faced the mirror. My hair was the same, a bit less grimy and tangled, but still hanging to my jawline in a curtain of dirty blonde, parted in the middle.
You look like Kurt Cobain, my mom used to tease me. I loved Kurt Cobain, except for the fact that he died.
Well, guess what, Mom? I thought. I have that in common with him too now. My eyes were gray, more like my cousin Annabeth's than my mom's. They had a haunted, scary emptiness to them, but that was normal. The look had served me well on the streets. My upper body, however, I hardly recognized. Ever since my bad asthma days when I was little, I'd always been on the scrawny side. Even with all the hiking and camping, I'd had a concave chest, sticking out ribs, and skin so pale you could trace the road map of blue veins. Now, those strange new bulgy areas looked suspiciously like muscles. Don't get me wrong, it wasn't as dramatic as turning into Captain America. I was still lean and pale, but my arms had definition. My chest didn't look like it would collapse in the next strong wind. My skin was smoother, less translucent. All the rashes and nicks and bites that came from living on the street had disappeared. Even the scar on my left palm, where I'd cut myself on a hunting knife at age 10, had vanished. I remembered how strong I'd felt when I first arrived at Valhalla, how I'd tossed my sofa across the room last night. I hadn't really stopped to think about it. What had Hunding called Valhalla? An upgrade? I made a fist. I'm not sure what came over me. I guess when I realized that even my body wasn't my own, the anger, fear, and uncertainty of the last 24 hours reached critical mass. I'd been plucked out of my life. I'd been threatened, humiliated, and forcibly upgraded. I hadn't asked for a suite. I hadn't asked for biceps. I hit the wall. Literally. My fist went straight through the tile, the drywall, and a 2x4 stud. I pulled out my hand. I wriggled my fingers. Nothing felt broken. I regarded the fist-shaped hole I'd made above the towel bar. Yep, I grumbled. Housekeeping loves me. The shower helped calm me down. Afterward, wrapped in a fluffy HV-embroidered bathrobe, I padded to the closet to search for clothes. Inside were three sets of blue jeans, three green t-shirts, all marked property of Hotel Valhalla, underwear, socks, a pair of good running shoes, and a sheathed sword. Leaning against the ironing board was a circular green shield with the golden rune of Frey painted in the middle. Okay, then. I guess I knew what I was wearing today. I spent 10 minutes trying to figure out how to position the sword sheath on my belt. I was left-handed. Did that mean the sword went on the right? Were left-handed swords different from right-handed ones? I attempted to draw the blade and just about ripped my pants off. Oh yeah, I was going to be a hit on the battlefield. I practiced swinging the sword. I wondered if it would start humming and guiding my hand, the way the sword on the bridge had done when I faced Surt. But no. This blade seemed to be a regular piece of non-humming metal with no cruise control feature. I managed to sheathe it without losing any fingers. I slung the shield across my back, the way the warriors at dinner last night had been wearing theirs. The strap dug into my neck and made me want to gag. I looked in the mirror again. You, sir, I muttered, look like a huge dork. My reflection did not argue. I went out to find breakfast and kill it with my sword. Chapter 18. I do mighty combat with eggs.
There he is!
TJ rose and grabbed my hand.
Sit. Join us. You made quite a first impression last night.
He was dressed the same as yesterday. A blue wool army jacket over a green hotel t-shirt, jeans, and leather boots. With him sat the half-troll X, the redhead Mallory Keene, and a guy I guessed was half-born Gunderson, who looked like Robinson Crusoe on steroids. His shirt was a patchwork of animal pelts. His hide pants were in tatters. Even by Viking standards, his beard was wild, decorated with most of a cheese omelet. My four hallmates made room for me at the table, which felt pretty good. Compared to the main feast hall, Lounge 19 was downright intimate. Scattered around the room were a dozen tables, most unoccupied. In one corner, a fireplace crackled in front of a beat-up sofa. Along the other wall, a buffet table was laden with every kind of breakfast food imaginable, and a few kinds I had never imagined. TJ and company had parked themselves in front of a big picture window overlooking a vast field of ice and swirling snow. It made no sense, considering that it was summer in my atrium right down the hall, but I'd already learned that the hotel's geography was whack.
"That's Niflheim," TJ explained. "The realm of ice. The view changes daily, cycling through the nine worlds."
The nine worlds. I stared at my scrambled eggs, wondering which solar system they'd come from. I keep hearing about nine worlds. Hard to believe. Mallory Keene blew powdered sugar off her donut.
"Believe it, newbie. I've visited six of them so far."
"Five here."
Halfborn grinned, showing me the rest of his cheese omelet.
"Course, Midgard hardly counts. That's the human world. Been to Alfheim, Nidavellir, Jotunheim."
"Disney World,"
X said. Mallory sighed. With her red hair, green eyes, and powdered sugar around her mouth, she reminded me of a reverse color scheme Joker.
"For the last time, you numbskull, Disney World is not one of the nine."
"Why is it called a world, then?"
X nodded smugly, the argument won, and went back to his meal, sucking meat from the shell of a large crustacean. TJ pushed his empty plate away.
"Magnus, I don't know if it helps, but the nine worlds aren't really separate planets. They're more like different dimensions, different layers of reality, all connected by the world tree."
"Thanks," I said. "That's much more confusing." He laughed.
"Yeah, I guess it is."
"The world tree is the tree in the feast hall?"
"Nah," Mallory said. "The world tree is much bigger. You'll see, sooner or later."
That sounded ominous. I tried to concentrate on my food, but it was difficult with X right next to me demolishing a slimy mutant crab. I pointed at TJ's jacket. "That's a Civil War uniform?"
"Private in the 54th Massachusetts, my friend. I'm a Boston boy, same as you. I just got here a little earlier."
I did the calculations. "You died in battle 150 years ago? TJ beamed.
"The assault on Fort Wagner, South Carolina. My dad was Tyr, god of courage, law, and trial by combat. My mom was a runaway slave."
I tried to fit that into my new worldview. A teenager from the 1860s, the son of a former slave and a Norse god, who was now having breakfast with me in an extra-dimensional hotel. X belched, which put things in perspective.
"Gods of Asgard," Mallory complained. "That smell!"
"Sorry,"
X grunted. "Is your name really X?" I asked.
"No, my real name is..."
The half-troll said something that started with K's and went on for about 30 seconds. Halfborn wiped his hands on his pelt shirt.
"You see? Nobody can pronounce that. We call him X."
"X," agreed X.
"He's another one of Sam Alabas's acquisitions," TJ said. "X stumbled across a dogfight. One of those illegal ones in, where, Chicago?
Chicago, affirmed X.
He saw what was going on and went nuts. Started smashing up the place, walloping the betters, freeing the animals.
Dogs should fight for themselves, X said. Not for greedy humans. They should be wild and free. They should not be kept in cages.
I didn't want to argue with the big guy, but I wasn't sure I liked the idea of wild dogs fighting for themselves. That sounded a lot like wolves, an animal I refused to harbinge.
Anyway, TJ said, it turned into a full-scale battle. X against a bunch of gangsters with automatic weapons. They finally killed him, but X took down a lot of scumbags and freed a lot of dogs. That was, what, a month ago?
X grunted and continued sucking his shellfish. TJ spread his hands.
Samira judged him worthy and brought him here. She got some flack for that decision.
Mallory snorted.
That's putting it mildly. A troll in Valhalla. Who could possibly object?
Half troll, X corrected. That is my better half, Mallory Keene.
She didn't mean anything, X, TJ said.
It's just that prejudice dies hard. When I got here in 1863, I wasn't exactly welcomed with open arms either.
Mallory rolled her eyes.
Then you won them over with your dazzling personality. I swear, you lot are giving Floor 19 a bad name. And now, we have Magnus.
Halfborn leaned toward me.
Don't mind Mallory. She's a sweetheart once you get past the fact that she's a horrible person.
Shut up, Halfborn.
The big guy chuckled.
She's just grumpy because she died trying to disarm a car bomb with her face.
Mallory's ears turned as red as hummingbird juice.
I didn't. It wasn't... Ah!
Magnus, don't worry about that mess last night, continued Halfborn. Folks will forget about it in a few decades. Believe me, I've seen it all. I died during the Viking invasion of East Anglia, fought under the banner of Ivar the Boneless. I took 20 arrows in the chest protecting my thane.
Ouch, I said. Halfborn shrugged.
I've been here for, going on 1,200 years now.
I stared at him. Despite his bulk and his beard, Halfborn looked maybe 18 tops.
How do you stand it without going crazy? And why do they call you Halfborn?
His smile faded.
Second question first. When I was born, I was so big, strong, and ugly that my mother said I looked like I'd been half-born, half-carved from rock. The name stuck.
And you're still ugly, Mallory muttered.
As for how to avoid going crazy here, some do lose it, Magnus. Waiting for Ragnarok is hard. The trick is to keep busy. There's plenty to do here. Me... I've learned a dozen languages, including English. I earned a doctorate in Germanic literature, and I learned to knit.
TJ nodded.
That's why I invited you to breakfast, Magnus.
To learn knitting?
To keep active. Spending too much time alone in your room can be dangerous. If you isolate yourself, you start to fade. Some of the old-timers...
He cleared his throat.
It doesn't matter. You're here. Just keep showing up every morning until doomsday, and you'll be fine.
I stared out the window at the swirling snow. I thought about Sam's warning to find the sword, the Norns chanting that something bad would happen in 9 days.
You said you visited the other worlds. That means you can leave the hotel.
The group exchanged uneasy glances.
Yes,
Halfborn said.
But our main job is to wait for Ragnarok. Train, train, train. I rode the train at Disney World, said X.
Maybe he meant it as a jest. The half-troll seemed to have two facial expressions, wet cement and dry cement.
Occasionally, said TJ, and Heryar are sent into the Nine Worlds on missions.
Tracking down monsters, Mallory offered.
Killing giants who cross into Midgard, stopping witches and wights, and of course, dealing with rogues.
Wights? Rogues? I asked.
Point is, said Halfborn, we only leave Valhalla under orders from Odin or the Thanes.
But, hypothetically, I said, I could go back to Earth, Midgard, whatever.
Hypothetically, yes, TJ said. Look, I know that business with the Norns must be driving you bonkers, but we don't know what the prophecy means. Give the Thanes some time to decide what to do. You can't rush off and do something stupid.
Gods forbid, said Mallory. We never do anything stupid.
Like the late night pizza run to Centarpio's.
That never happened.
Shut up, woman,
Halfborn growled.
Woman!
Mallory reached for the knife at her belt.
Watch your words, you overgrown Swedish hamster.
Hold on, I said. You guys know how to sneak out of... TJ coughed loudly.
Sorry, I didn't hear that. I'm sure you weren't asking about anything against the rules. Magnus, first of all, if you returned to Midgard so soon, how would you explain it to those who knew you? Everyone thinks you're dead. Usually, if we go back, we wait until everyone we knew is dead. It's easier all the way around. Besides, it takes a while, sometimes years, for your Inherye strength to develop fully.
I tried to imagine waiting here for years. I didn't have many friends or relatives to go back to. Still, I didn't want to be stuck here, learning new languages, knitting sweaters, for ages. After seeing my cousin Annabeth, I kind of wanted to reconnect with her before she died. And if Samira was right about my mom not being in Valhalla, I wanted to find her, wherever she was.
But it's possible to leave without permission, I persisted. Maybe not forever, just for a while.
TJ shifted uncomfortably.
Valhalla has doors into every world. The hotel is designed that way. Most exits are guarded, but... Well, there are a lot of ways to Bastion, since Bastion is the center of Midgard.
I glanced around the table. Nobody was laughing.
It is? Sure, TJ said. It's right at the trunk of the world tree, the easiest spot from which to access the other worlds. Why do you think Bastion is called the hub of the universe?
Wishful thinking?
No. Mortals have always known there was something about that location, even if they couldn't put their finger on what it was. The Vikings searched for the center of the world for years. They knew the entrance to Asgard was in the west. That's one reason they kept exploring into North America. When they met the Native Americans...
We called them the Skraelings,
Halfborn said.
Vicious fighters. I liked them.
The natives had all sorts of stories about how strong the spirit world was in this area. Later, when the Puritans settled, well, John Winthrop's vision of a shining city on a hill? That wasn't just a metaphor. He had a vision of Asgard, a glimpse into the other worlds. And the Salem witch trials? Hysteria caused by magic seeping into Midgard. Edgar Allan Poe was born in Boston. It's no accident his most famous poem was about a raven, one of Odin's sacred animals.
Enough! Mallory gave me a disgusted look.
TJ will take forever when answering a yes-no question. The answer is yes, Magnus. It is possible to leave, with or without permission.
X cracked a crab claw.
You would not be immortal.
Yeah, TJ said.
That's the second big problem. In Valhalla, you can't die. Not permanently,
You'll just keep getting resurrected. It's part of the training.
I remembered the guy who had gotten impaled in the lobby and dragged off by wolves. Hunding had said he would be fine again by dinner. But outside of Valhalla?
Out in the Nine Worlds,
TJ said.
You're still in Inherii.
You're faster and stronger and tougher than any regular mortal. But if you die out there, you stay dead. Your soul might go to Helheim. Or you might simply dissolve into the primordial void, Ginnungagap.
Hard to know. It's not worth the risk. Unless...
Hathborn picked some egg out of his beard.
Unless he really did find the Sword of Frey, and the legends are true.
It's Magnus's first day, TJ said.
Let's not go into that. He's already freaked out enough.
Freak me out more, I said. What legends, exactly? In the hallway, a horn blasted. At the other tables, Inheriar started to get up and clear their plates. Halfborn rubbed his hands eagerly.
Talking will have to wait. It's battle time!
Battle time,
X agreed. TJ grimaced.
Magnus, we should probably warn you about the first day initiation. Don't be discouraged if...
Oh, shush, said Mallory. Don't spoil the surprise. She gave me a powdered sugar smile.
I can't wait to see the new boy get dismembered.
Chapter 19. Do not call me Beantown, like, ever. I told my new friends I was allergic to dismemberment. They just laughed and herded me toward the combat arena. This is why I don't like making new friends. The battlefield was so huge, I couldn't process what I was seeing. Back in the good old days when I was a street kid, I used to sleep on rooftops in the summertime. I could see the entire cityscape of Boston from Fenway Park to Bunker Hill. Valhalla's battlefield was bigger than that. It offered maybe 3 square miles of interesting places to die, all contained within the hotel like an interior courtyard. On all 4 sides rose the walls of the building, cliffs of white marble and gold-railed balconies, some hung with banners, some decorated with shields, some fitted with catapults. The upper floors seemed to dissolve in the hazy glow of the sky, as blank white as a fluorescent light. In the center of the field loomed a few craggy hills. Clumps of forest marbled the landscape. The outer rim was mostly rolling pastures, with a river as wide as the Charles snaking through. Several villages dotted the riverbank, maybe for those who preferred their warfare urban. From hundreds of doors in the walls around the field, battalions of warriors were streaming in, their weapons and armor glinting in the harsh light. Some in Inheriar wore full plate mail like medieval knights. Others wore chainmail shirts, breeches, and combat boots. A few sported camo fatigues and AK-47s. One guy wore nothing but a Speedo. He'd painted himself blue and was armed only with a baseball bat. Across his chest were the words, "Come at me, bro." "I feel underdressed," I said. X cracked his knuckles.
"Armor does not make victory. Neither do weapons."
Easy for him to say. He was larger than some sovereign nations. Halfborn Gunderson was also taking the minimalist approach. He'd stripped down to nothing but his leggings, though he did sport a pair of vicious-looking double-bladed axes. Standing next to anyone else, Halfborn would have looked massive. Next to X, he looked like a toddler, with a beard, abs, and axes. TJ fastened his bayonet to his rifle.
"Magnus, if you want more than the basic equipment, you'll have to capture it or trade for it. The hotel armories take red gold, or they work on a barter system."
"Is that how you got your rifle?"
"Nah, this is the weapon I died with. I hardly ever fire it. Bullets don't have much effect on Inheriar. Those guys out there with the assault rifles? That's all flash and noise. They're the least dangerous people on the field.
But this bayonet? It's bone steel, a gift from my father. Bone steel works just fine.
Bone steel.
Yeah, you'll learn.
My sword hand was already sweating. My shield felt much too flimsy.
So which groups are we fighting against?
Halfborn clapped me on the back.
All of them. Vikings fight in small groups, my friend. We are your shield brothers.
And shield sister, Mallory said. Though some of us are shield idiots.
Halfborn ignored her.
Stick with us, Magnus, and, well, you won't do fine. You'll get killed quickly. But stick with us anyway. We'll wade into battle and slaughter as many as possible.
That's your plan? Halfborn tilted his head.
Why would I have a plan?
Oh, sometimes we do, said TJ. Wednesdays are siege warfare. That's more complicated. Thursdays they bring out the dragons.
Mallory drew her sword and serrated a dagger.
Today is free-for-all combat. I love Tuesdays.
From 1,000 different balconies, horns blasted. The Inherjar charged into battle. Until that morning, I'd never understood the term bloodbath. Within a few minutes, we were literally slipping in the stuff. We'd just stepped onto the field when an axe flew out of nowhere and stuck in my shield, the blade going right through the wood above my arm. Mallory yelled and threw her knife, which sank into the axe thrower's chest. He fell to his knees, laughing.
Good one!
Then he collapsed, dead. Halfborn waded through enemies, his axes whirling, chopping off heads and limbs until he looked like he'd been playing paintball with only red paint. It was disgusting and horrifying. And the most disturbing part? The Inherjar treated it like a game. They killed with glee. They died as if someone had just taken down their avatar in Call of Duty. I'd never liked that game.
That sex,
one guy muttered as he studied the four arrows in his chest. Another yelled,
I'll get you tomorrow, Trixie!
Before falling sideways, a spear stuck through his gut. TJ sang the battle hymn of the Republic while he stabbed and parried with his bayonet. X smashed through one group after another. A dozen arrows now stuck out of his back like porcupine quills, but they didn't seem to bother him. Every time his fist connected, an Inherji turned two-dimensional. As for me, I shuffled along in abject terror, my shield raised, my sword dragging. I'd been told that death here wasn't permanent, but I had a hard time believing it. A bunch of warriors with sharp, pointy objects were trying to kill me. I didn't want to be killed. I managed to parry a sword strike. I deflected a spear with my shield. I had a clear opening to stab one girl whose guard was down, but I just couldn't make myself do it. That was a mistake. Her axe bit into my thigh. Pain flared all the way up to my neck. Mallory cut the girl down.
Come on, Chase, keep moving. You'll get used to the pain after a while.
Great,
I grimaced.
Something to look forward to.
TJ jabbed his bayonet through the faceplate of a medieval knight.
Let's take that hill!
He pointed to a nearby ridge at the edge of the woods.
Why?
I yelled.
Because it's a hill!
He loves taking hills,
Mallory grumbled.
It's a civil war thing.
We waded through the battle, heading for the high ground. My thigh still hurt, but the bleeding had stopped. Was that normal? TJ raised his rifle. He yelled,
Charge!
Just as a javelin ran him through from behind.
TJ!
I yelled. He caught my eye, managed a weak smile, then face-planted in the mud.
For Frigg's sake,
Mallory cursed.
Come on, newbie!
She grabbed my arm and pulled me along. More javelins sailed over my head. You guys do this every day? I demanded.
No. Like we told you, Thursdays are dragons.
But, Beantown, the whole point is to get used to the horrors of battle. You think this is bad? Wait until we actually have to fight at Ragnarok.
Why am I Beantown? TJ's from Boston. Why isn't he Beantown?
Because TJ is slightly less annoying.
We reached the edge of the woods. X and Halfborn guarded our backs, slowing down the pursuing horde. And the enemies were a horde now. All the scattered groups within sight had stopped fighting each other and were after us. Some pointed at me. Some called my name, and not in a friendly way.
Yeah, they've spotted you, Mallory sighed.
When I said I wanted to see you eviscerated, I didn't mean I wanted to be standing next to you.
Oh well.
I almost asked why everyone was after me. But I got it. I was a newbie. Of course the other Inheriar would gang up on me and the other newcomers. Lars Ahlstrom was probably already decapitated. Didi might be running around with her arms cut off. The veteran Inheriar would make this as painful and terrifying for us as possible to see how we handled ourselves. That made me angry. We climbed the hill, weaving from tree to tree for cover. Halfborn threw himself into a group of 20 guys who were following us. He destroyed them all. He came up laughing, an insane light in his eyes. He was bleeding from a dozen wounds. A dagger stuck out of his chest, right over his heart.
How is he not dead yet? I asked.
He's a berserker. Mallory glanced back, her expression a mix of disdain and exasperation and something else. Admiration?
That idiot will keep fighting until he is literally hacked to pieces.
Something clicked in my head. Mallory liked Halfborn. You don't call somebody an idiot that many times unless you're really into them. Under different circumstances, I might have teased her, but while she was distracted, there was a wet thwack. An arrow sprouted from her neck. She scowled at me as if to say, "Totally your fault." She collapsed. I knelt at her side, putting my hand on her neck. I could feel the life seeping out of her. I could sense the severed artery, the fading heartbeat, all the damage that had to be mended. My fingers seemed to grow warmer. If I had a little more time...
"Look out!"
shouted X. I raised my shield. A sword clanged against it. I pushed back, knocking the attacker downhill. My arms ached. My head was throbbing, but somehow I got to my feet. Halfborn was 40 yards away, surrounded by a mob of warriors all jabbing him with spears, shooting him full of arrows. Somehow he kept fighting, but even he wouldn't be able to stand much longer. X ripped a guy's AK-47 out of his hands and smacked him over the head with it.
"Go, Magnus Beantown," said the half-troll. "Take the crest for Floor 19!
"My nickname will not be Beantown," I muttered. "I refuse." I stumbled uphill until I reached the summit. I put my back against a big oak tree while X smashed and backhanded and headbutted Vikings into oblivion. An arrow hit my shoulder, pinning me to the tree. The pain almost made me black out, but I snapped the shaft and pulled myself free. The bleeding stopped instantly. I felt the wound closing as if somebody had filled it with hot wax. A shadow passed over me, something large and dark hurtling from the sky. It took me a millisecond to realize it was a boulder, probably shot from a balcony catapult. It took me another millisecond to realize where it would land. Too late. Before I could shout a warning to X, the half-troll and a dozen other Inheriar disappeared under a 20-ton chunk of limestone, the side of which was painted, "With love, from Floor 63. 100 warriors stared at the rock. Leaves and broken twigs fluttered around them. Then the Inheriar all turned toward me. Another arrow hit me in the chest. I screamed, more in rage than in pain, and pulled it out.
Wow,
one of the Vikings commented.
He's a fast healer.
Try a spear, someone suggested. Try two spears.
They spoke as if I wasn't worth addressing, as if I were a cornered animal they could experiment with. 20 or 30 in Herjar raised their weapons. The anger inside me exploded. I shouted, expelling energy like the shockwave from a bomb. Bowstrings snapped. Swords fell out of their owners' hands. Spears and guns and axes went flying into the trees. As quickly as it started, the surge of power shut off. All around me, 100 in Herjar had been stripped of their weapons. The blue-painted guy stood in the front row, his baseball bat at his feet. He stared at me in shock.
What just happened?
The warrior next to him had an eye patch and red leather armor decorated with silver curlicues. Cautiously, he crouched and retrieved his fallen axe.
Alf Seder, said Eyepatch. Nicely done, son of Frey. I haven't seen a trick like that in centuries. But bone steel is better.
My eyes crossed as his axe blade spun toward my face. Then everything went dark. Chapter 20. Come to the dark side. We have Pop-Tarts. A familiar voice said,
Dead again, eh?
I opened my eyes. I was standing in a pavilion ringed with gray stone columns. Outside was nothing but empty sky. The air was thin. Cold wind whipped across the marble floor, stirring the fire in the central hearth, making the flames gutter and the braziers on either side of the tall dais. 3 steps led up to a double throne, a love seat of white wood carved with intricate shapes of animals, birds, and tree branches. The seat itself was lined with ermine. Sprawling across it, eating Pop-Tarts from a silver wrapper, was the man in the Red Sox jersey.
Welcome to Hlidskjalf,
he grinned, his scarred lips like the sides of a zipper.
The high seat of Odin.
You're not Odin, I said, using process of elimination.
You're Loki.
Soxman chuckled.
Nothing escapes your keen intellect.
First, what are we doing here? Second, why is Odin's throne named Hlidskjalf?
Hlidskjalf. Put an H at the beginning and an F at the end. On that first letter, you have to sound like you're hawking spit.
On further reflection, I don't care.
You should. This is where it all started. That's the answer to your second question. Why we're here?
He patted the seat next to him.
Join me. Have a Pop-Tart.
No thanks.
Your loss.
He broke off the edge of a pastry and tossed it into his mouth.
This purple icing. I don't know what flavor it's supposed to be, but it is insanely good.
My pulse throbbed in my neck, which was strange since I was dreaming, and probably also dead. Loki's eyes unnerved me. They had that same intense glow as Sam's, but Sam kept the flames under control. Loki's gaze flitted restlessly, like the fire in the hearth, pushed by the wind, looking for anything it could set ablaze.
Frey once sat here.
He stroked the ermine fur.
Do you know the story?
No, but isn't it illegal for anyone to sit there except Odin?
Oh, yes. Well, Odin and Frigg, the king and queen, they can sit here and see anywhere in the 9 worlds. They merely have to concentrate, and they will find whatever they are looking for. But if anyone else sits here,
he made tisk-tisk sounds.
The throne's magic can be a terrible curse. I certainly would never risk it if this weren't an illusion. But your father did. It was his one moment of rebellion.
Loki took another bite of purple Pop-Tart.
I always admired him for that.
And?
And instead of seeing what he was looking for, he saw what he most desired. It ruined his life. It's the reason he lost his sword. He...
Loki winced.
Excuse me.
He turned his head, his features contorting like he was about to sneeze. Then he let loose a scream of agony. When he faced me again, wisps of steam rose from the scar tissue across the bridge of his nose.
Sorry, he said. Every so often the poison splashes in my eyes.
The poison? I remembered a fragment of a myth. You killed somebody. The gods captured you and tied you up. There was something about poison. Where are you now, really? He gave me that twisted grin.
Right where I always am. The gods had me, properly restrained. But that's not important. I can still send out splinters of my essence from time to time, like I'm doing now, to speak with my favorite friends.
Just because you're wearing a Sox jersey does not mean we're friends.
I'm hurt.
His eyes sparkled.
My daughter Samira saw something in you. We could help each other.
You ordered her to take me to Valhalla?
Oh, no. That wasn't my idea. You, Magnus Chase, are of interest to many different parties. Some of them are not as charming or helpful as I.
How about being charming and helpful to your daughter? She got kicked out of the Valkyries for choosing me. His smile faded.
That's the gods for you. They banished me, too, and how many times did I save their hides? Don't worry about Samira. She is strong. She'll be fine. I'm more worried about you.
Cold wind blew through the pavilion, so strong it pushed me a few inches across the polished stone floor. Loki crumpled his Pop-Tart wrapper.
You will be waking up soon. Before you go, some advice.
I don't suppose I can refuse.
The Sword of Summer, Loki said. When your father sat on this throne, what he saw doomed him. He gave his sword away. It passed to his servant and messenger, Skirnir.
For a moment, I was back on the Longfellow Bridge, the sword humming in my hand as if trying to speak. Uncle Randolph mentioned Skirnir, I said. His descendant was in that shipwreck. Loki pantomimed wild applause.
And there the sword lay for 1,000 years, waiting for someone to reclaim it. Someone who had the right to wield the blade.
Me?
Ah, but you aren't the only one who can use the sword. We know what will happen at Ragnarok. The Norns have told us our fates. Frey, poor Frey, because of the choices he made, will die at the hands of Surt. The Lord of the Fire Giants will cut him down with his own lost sword.
A spike of pain hit me between the eyes. Right about where the Enhyrie's axe had killed me. That's why Surt wants the sword, so he'll be ready for Ragnarok.
Not only that, he'll use the sword to set in motion a chain of events to hasten Doomsday. In 8 days, unless you stop him, he will cut loose my son, the wolf.
Your son? My arms were evaporating. My eyesight grew hazy. Too many questions crowded into my head. Wait, aren't you destined to fight against the gods at Ragnarok too?
Yes, but that was the gods' choice, not mine. The thing about fate, Magnus, even if we can't change the big picture, our choices can alter the details. That's how we rebel against destiny, how we make our mark. What will you choose to do?
his image flickered. For a moment, I saw him spread eagle on a slab of stone, his wrists and ankles tied with slimy ropes, his body writhing in pain. Then I saw him in a hospital bed, a female doctor leaning over him, her hand resting gently on his forehead. She looked like an older version of Sam, curls of dark hair escaping from a scarlet headscarf, her mouth set tight with concern. Loki appeared on the throne again, brushing Pop-Tart crumbs from his Red Sox jersey.
I won't tell you what to do, Magnus. That's the difference between me and the other gods. I'll only ask you this question. When you get a chance to sit on Odin's throne, and that day is coming, will you search for your heart's desire, knowing it may doom you as it doomed your father? Think on that, son of Frey. Perhaps we'll speak again, if you survive the next 8 days.
My dream changed. Loki vanished. The braziers burst, showering hot coals across the dais, and the high seat of Odin erupted in flames. The clouds turned into rolling banks of volcanic ash. Above the burning throne, two glowing red eyes appeared in the smoke.
Yo!
The voice of Surt washed over me like a flamethrower.
You have only delayed me. You have earned a more painful, more permanent death.
I tried to speak. The heat sucked the oxygen from my lungs. My lips cracked and blistered. Surt laughed.
The wolf thinks you may still be useful. I do not. When we meet again, you will burn, son of Frey. You and your friends will be my tinder. You will start the fire that burns the nine worlds.
The smoke thickened. I couldn't breathe, couldn't see. My eyes flew open. I bolted upright, gasping for air. I was in bed in my hotel room. Surt was gone. I touched my face, but it wasn't burned. No axe was embedded there. All my battlefield wounds had vanished. Still, my whole body was buzzing with alarm. I felt like I'd fallen asleep on active train tracks, and the Acela Express had just roared past. The dream was already erasing itself. I struggled to hold on to the specifics. The throne of Odin, Loki and Pop-Tarts, my son, the wolf, Surt promising to burn the nine worlds. Trying to make sense of it was even more painful than getting an axe in my face. Someone knocked on my door. Thinking it might be one of my hallmates, I leaped out of bed and ran to answer. I threw open the door, found myself face to face with the Valkyrie Gunilla, and only then realized I was wearing nothing but underwear. Her face turned magenta. Her jaw muscles knotted.
Oh!
Captain Gorilla, I said. What an honor! She recovered quickly, glaring at me like she was trying to activate her freeze-ray vision.
Magnus Chase, you resurrected with incredible speed.
From her tone, I guessed that she hadn't expected to find me here. But then why had she knocked?
I wasn't timing my resurrection, I said.
Was it fast?
Very.
She glanced past me, maybe looking for something.
We have a few hours before dinner. Perhaps I could give you a tour of the hotel, since your own Valkyrie has been dismissed.
You mean since you got her dismissed? Gunilla turned up her palms.
I don't control the Norns. They decide all our fates.
That's convenient. I remembered what Loki had said.
Our choices can alter the details. That's how we rebel against destiny.
What about me? Have you, the Norns, decided my fate?
Gunilla scowled. Her posture was stiff and uneasy. Something was bothering her, maybe even scaring her. The Thanes are discussing your situation now. She unhooked the key ring from her belt.
Take a tour with me. We can talk. If I understand you better, I may be able to speak to the Thanes on your behalf. Unless, of course, you want to take your chances without my help.
You might get lucky. The Thanes might sentence you to bellhop duty for a few centuries, or washing dishes in the kitchen.
The last thing I wanted was quality time with Ganilla. On the other hand, a tour of the hotel might show me some important features, like the exits. Also, after the dream I'd just had, I didn't want to be alone. Besides, I could imagine how many dirty dishes would need washing after 3 rounds of dinner in the feast hall.
I'll take the tour, I said, but I should probably put some clothes on first.
Chapter 21 Ganilla gets blowtorched and it's not funny. Okay, it's a little bit funny. The main thing I discovered. Valhalla needed GPS. Even Ganilla got turned around in the endless corridors, banquet halls, gardens, and lounges. At one point we were riding in a service elevator when Ganilla said, "Here's the food court." The doors opened, and a wall of flames engulfed us both. My heart leaped into my throat. I thought Surt had found me. Ganilla screamed and staggered backward. I smashed random buttons until the door shut. Then I did my best to put out the burning hem of Ganilla's dress.
"You okay?"
My pulse was still racing. Ganilla's arms were covered with patches of steaming red skin.
"My skin will heal," Ganilla said. "My pride may not. That was Muspelheim, not the food court."
I wondered if Surt had engineered our little detour somehow, or if elevator doors in Valhalla often opened into the world of fire. I wasn't sure which possibility was more disturbing. The tightness in Ganilla's voice told me how much pain she was in. I remembered standing over Mallory Keene when she fell in battle, the way I'd been able to sense the damage and how it could be mended if I'd had more time. I knelt next to the Valkyrie.
"May I?"
"What are you?" I touched her forearm. My fingers began to steam, drawing the heat from her skin. The redness faded. Her burns disappeared. Even the singed tip of her nose healed. Ganilla stared at me as if I'd sprouted horns.
"How did you... you weren't burned either. How?"
"I don't know." My head spun with exhaustion.
"Good luck. Healthy living."
I tried to stand and promptly collapsed.
"Whoa, son of Frey."
Ganilla grabbed my arm. The elevator doors opened again. This time, we really were at a food court. The smells of lemon chicken and pizza wafted in.
"Let's keep walking," Ganilla said. "Clear your head."
We got some strange looks as we stumbled through the dining area, me leaning against the Valkyrie captain for support, Ganilla's dress still smoking and tattered. We turned into a corridor lined with conference rooms. Inside one, a guy in studded leather armor was giving a PowerPoint presentation to a dozen warriors, explaining the weaknesses of mountain trolls. A few doors down, Valkyries in glittering party hats socialized over cake and ice cream. The birthday candle was shaped like the number 500.
"I think I'm okay now," I told Ganilla.
"Thanks." I wobbled a few steps on my own, but managed to stay upright.
"Your healing abilities are remarkable," Ganilla said. "Frey is the god of abundance and fertility, growth and vitality. I guess that explains it. Still, I've never seen an Inheri who can heal himself so quickly, much less heal others."
"Your guess is as good as mine," I said. "Normally I have trouble just opening band-aids."
"And your immunity to fire?"
I concentrated on the carpet designs, keeping one foot in front of the other. I could walk now,
but healing Ganilla's burns had left me feeling like I'd just had a